I had a friend. He said something just totally wrong on Facebook. And some Christian brothers and sisters just ripped him up. I didn't want to dishonor, disgrace him. But was he wrong? Yes, he was. Completely wrong. And he puts an apology out on Facebook. And I didn't tell him to give a public apology. He chose to do that. That would not have happened had I come at him the wrong way.
Yeah.
Human nature being what it is, we want to show the world that I'm right, you're wrong, I'm smarter than you are. And the next thing you know, we become argumentative and more divisive in the body of Christ instead of bringing harmony.
What if this person is a non-believer and maybe is resistant to talking to you? How do you handle that? And especially when it's somebody in your circle, you know they're a non-believer, they need to know the truth.
What we're doing is we're standing up for Jesus. We're flipping over tables. We're grabbing swords. We're taking names and we're, you know, throwing people out of the temple. Where does this come from?
Just being imbalanced in our theology, because yes, there's a time to go in and flip over tables. But then, as I recall, Jesus's own cousin got his head cut off and he didn't flip over tables then.
We're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors. The scary ones. The ones that make you feel uncomfortable. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle and I'm Brian. If you don't want to miss anything, all you have to do is just hit that subscribe button to get a notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast. One of our good friends in studio right now, Reverend Dr. Ron Morrison, founding and senior pastor of Hope Alliance Bible Church in Maple Heights. We're talking about how to actually hold up the light of Scripture to your discussions online. Somebody just texted.
Janet says, this is the very topic that has me totally depressed this morning because I see this as being worse than it ever has. Our church says that if you're going to put things on Facebook that are mean, please don't say that you're affiliated with the church. What our pastors would like be like to, if for us to do is to lift people up in the midst of what's going on. Just yesterday, my best friend and I even struggled through this topic. So I was just going to listen to music. My phone wouldn't connect. And so she listened to this and encouraged because it is a struggle.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be discouraged. So how do you even engage in that medium without being discouraged?
I still like to use the Matthew 18 principle. And you recall that the text says, if your brother sins against you, if your brother offends you on Facebook, it says, go to your brother and tell him his fault alone. So first of all, we all see these offensive rants on Facebook. Sometimes somebody will get on and just rant about someone. You don't even know who they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Or they'll get on and just blast somebody. And then it just goes on from there back and forth in public. So I say when somebody says something that offends you on Facebook, if it's one of your friends, the wise thing to do is obey the principle of that scripture, go talk to them privately or instant message them privately, if you will. Because people tend to get defensive when they're outed in public, and mm-hmm. even when they're wrong, they're going to defend themselves and just let it keep going. And so God is wise. He says if you go to them privately and they listen to you, you have gained your brother. And I noticed that word gained is the same word they use when somebody makes profit in the area of wealth.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, look how valuable it can be if you actually win your brother back. It increases the wealth of the kingdom of the body of Christ when we're actually working in harmony. But I find many believers just violate that principle and start blasting one another in public. Sunday, we were in John 21, and I talked about how the Lord went to Peter privately, and nothing is recorded in Scripture about that conversation. But you do see the grace in public as he restored him to ministry. And so I have found it helpful when somebody says something that offends me on Facebook, I try to reach them privately. And I'm old. I grew up before we had social media, so we had to actually learn how to talk to people in person or on the phone.
Yeah.
But Pastor, the person is misrepresented in Jesus in public, they should be rebuked in public.
There's a reason he said try to win them privately first. I had a friend, he's a good friend. He was a missionary for a long time. We spent time with him in South America. He said something just totally wrong on Facebook. And some Christian brothers and sisters just ripped him up. But he and I chatted privately, and he puts an apology out on Facebook. That would not have happened had I come at him the wrong way.
Yeah,
I didn't want to dishonor, disgrace him in public. Was he wrong? Yes, he was. Completely wrong. Said some things about the protesters and the rioters, and he didn't understand the backstory. Well, it wasn't a culture he grew up in. But talking to him privately led to him giving, and I didn't tell him to give a public apology. He chose to do that. And to me, that's just obeying the principle of Matthew 18.
And it's consistent with Scripture, right? Because I keep thinking of the Sermon on the Mount when you're saying this, that he's saying peacemakers are blessed.
Yes.
And what you're saying is the outcome of following step one, going in private, is actually not just peacemaking, but blessing.
Yes. Yes. Because again, that he says, I want you to gain your brother. Human nature being what it is, we want to show the world that I'm right, you're wrong, I'm smarter than you are. And the next thing you know, we become argumentative and more divisive in the body of Christ instead of bringing harmony.
Is it a thing to even consider seeing something, disagreeing, even if it's somebody that you know, and just leaving it alone? Or are we called to speak up like and defend?
I almost never defend or speak up unless somebody speaks to me personally. You could spend your whole life one day trying to refute everything people say on Facebook. I don't have that kind of time.
Even if it's topics, I mean, I'm sure you care about the truth of Scripture when it comes to marriage or when it comes to abortion or when it comes to some of the ways that politics are going against our faith, either side, all sides. Mm-hmm. You would still read that and walk away and not say something?
I try to discern when somebody's actually ready to hear an answer. Sometimes you can tell by the way they make a statement, they're not ready to listen.
Yeah.
Do I want to just go back and forth 100 times with them? Or if I see someone actually wanting a biblical answer, then I'm more inclined to respond. But you can tell sometimes when somebody is not even ready to listen to the truth. They just want to get their point out there.
You mentioned the importance in terms of Matthew 18 of speaking to, pulling people aside, sending them a private message or talking to them in person, instead of blasting them on Facebook and walking around feeling like I'm smarter than you. What if this person is a non-believer and maybe is resistant to talking to you? How do you handle that? And especially when it's somebody in your circle, you know they're a non-believer, they need to know the truth.
I will make an initial effort to reach them, and if I can tell that they're not ready to hear, then I feel at that point I just push back and pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them and make them ready to listen. Because sometimes I can tell the question is just sarcastic, insulting. And if I start those kind of responses, I'll just be going back and forth trying to show them that I know what I'm talking about. But if I'm not careful, and I know how I used to be, I can get more interested in winning an argument than winning a person. Mm-hmm. And I keep looking at what he said in Matthew 18. The goal is to gain your brother. I don't want to just embarrass somebody. I want to try to win them.
So now, okay, let's say you go to them, though, and it doesn't turn out that great. They don't listen. Now you can get them, right? Get them. No?
No, that's when you show enough grace to pray for the Spirit of God to give them the breakthrough. But
what about step two? I can bring somebody else and go get them, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a brother, that's how you handle a
go
conversation
get
with
though,
a brother.
Right? Just you, that.
Again,
that's
the goal, again, is to win them back, gain them, not destroy them.
But see, I'm trying to get to this principle that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Why do so many of us in the faith, and I've been victim of this too in terms of me thinking this way, we feel like it's our job to fight with people for Jesus. Not fight to be mean, but what we're doing is we're standing up for Jesus. We're flipping over tables. We're grabbing swords. We're taking names and we're, you know, throwing people out of the temple. Where does this come from?
Just being imbalanced in our theology, because yes, there's a time to go in and flip over tables, but then, as I recall, Jesus' own cousin got his head cut off and he didn't flip over tables then. And so how do I know which way he wants me to respond? I
mean,
I can choose. If I prefer to flip tables, then I can respond that way all the time. But clearly, Jesus did not do that every time. So I need to be listening to the Spirit of God and let him show me which way I want to respond. And let him remind me and remind all of us that there was a time that we did not know everything like we think we do now. And so let's be humble even as we correct people and share with them, because there's still so much more we all need to learn. So whatever we know, let's speak the truth in love and humility, because God can work through that. He's not going to work through my arrogance and pride.
So then, is it perhaps possible then you're saying that spiritual immaturity is the cause of online conflict for believers?
A lot of times,
I don't sound rude, but
a lot of times it's like you said, there's zeal, but you don't have the right kind of knowledge to go with that zeal. You don't have the same kind of maturity. I remember my early days, and my wife's here; she can bear witness. Standing out on the sidewalk, going toe-to-toe with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was not going to let them take my Bible and show me something that I didn't know or say that they were right. And I wasn't going to let that happen. Mm-hmm. But I had no concern about winning their souls at that moment. I was just going to prove them wrong. I had to grow up from that.
How do you recognize the difference? You mentioned don't let your immaturity and your pride win. But at the same time, you mentioned zeal. And some of us truly feel, I'm passionate about truth. I love the Lord. And he told me to come and tell you. Whatever.
You My know, favorite line.
How do you recognize when it is pride or when it's the Lord that really like put it in your heart to go and do it and talk to someone?
I feel my first obligation is to make sure that I'm listening to the Lord to get my directive, my orders for every conversation. You study the life of Jesus. Look how he approached individuals differently, never compromising the message, always had a zeal for their souls, but he never had a cookie-cutter way to respond to people. Mm. He didn't just rip everybody up who was wrong. He talked to Pharisees differently than he talked to a believer struggling with sin or somebody who was just on the ropes interested. We need to listen to the Lord. How do you want me to talk to this individual in this situation and make sure that I care enough to win them rather than just win the argument?
Is it a fair summary to say Jesus didn't pick fights, but sometimes his response to religious people who were rude was very stern? Perhaps you hypocrites, brood of vipers. But he didn't start that fight, did he?
He didn't back down. And again, even when it appeared that he was harsh, he's still speaking truth with a purpose.
What's harshly?
The purpose, well, a lot of times he had to show his followers not to be intimidated by these men who think they know everything. He exposed them. The ones that were causing the most damage, he exposed them in a different way. And so the same thing comes up at Facebook. There again, there's some people who say some things that are wrong, they're damaging, but am I coming at them with a Christ-like spirit to really try to get them to see the error of their ways? And I have to pray first, because we all have a way. We know how to get people told off, but that may not be the way Christ wants me to do it.
Is it ever Christian or biblical to just click unfriend? Because somebody's so divisive.
Yes.
It is.
How is that loving, Pastor?
Oh.
I don't stop praying for them, but I don't want to keep reading all this garbage going into my spirit and being angry all the time. I just have chosen to unfriend some people.
Something's happening to my friend.
Because I struggle with that. I really don't like hurting people's feelings, and I've had to make that decision. I can count it with one hand. Because Facebook is, they call them friends, but a lot of these people aren't even in our circle. So right. I get the whole, you can unfriend some people. There are others that are closer in your circle. Does that warrant, before you unfollow or unfriend them, does it warrant talking to them first? I feel like it's so mean to like have them find out like, wow, you, that's like a no-no. You unfriended me? You know, somebody from church, let's say. Should you at least talk to them first?
I think you can let them know, you know, brother, so many of your posts are so contradictory to what I believe and what I know about Christ. I'm just going to choose to stop reading your posts. If you ever want to talk, I'm willing to talk. But for now, I think it's best that we just don't communicate in this manner.
But it's easier just to sneak away, Pastor.
Brian! Oh, goodness.
Well, but right, we justify this to ourselves. And I understand your point, you know, what you're saying is, maybe it's not a biblical ideal just leave quietly.
And it feels passive aggressive. It feels like, wow, you don't even give me the chance. Like,
it sounds loving to tell someone you've done it and why.
Yeah, I think so. Is that fair, or am I overreacting?
I believe it's fair. Okay. It's fair.
That's good. Don't unfriend me, Brian.
It's too bad. She was hoping she could just unfriend half these people and just run. You know, it's funny that this comes up so much, but it's true. I mean, we all watch this. It is. Like, it's not that social media is evil. It's a thing. It's benign.
It can be used for the glory of God, and we do it well.
Which is why, I mean, it's one of the greatest tools we have for this program, where we as a team have a private group where we can share ideas, share articles. I get my finger on the pulse of what people are thinking and saying by it, but it also can be such a cause of division and hatred and ickiness.
Yeah.
That it's, I guess we just have to believe in that presupposition that you have here today, which shocks me how often people don't agree, that the scripture ought to guide every aspect of our lives.
Exactly.
I don't know how often I've encountered that people seem to think that's not true. Like, the Bible's just for spiritual things, but we don't use it as a light to understand today's issues from a biblical perspective.
Every aspect of our lives should be guided by scripture. Every conversation I have should be informed by scripture.
But I don't like that, Pastor, because some of those things make me look bad, or they don't feel good.
We can talk privately offline.
I was speaking for Jimmy, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Janelle. Wait. I hate to say it, but Pastor Ron Morrison, man. Again, Reverend Dr. Ron Morrison, founding and senior pastor of Hope Alliance Bible Church in Maple Heights, our time has run out with you, but we always enjoy your wisdom, your teaching, your expertise. We're going to put some links to connecting with your church on Facebook.
All right.
Please be nice there.
Yeah.
And Moody Bible classes again starting this fall.
Oh, praise God. So how can folks find out about learning, taking Moody Bible Institute courses at Hope Alliance Bible Church and even learn more about the church?
Check out hopealliancebiblechurch.org. Click on the Christian Education tab, and we'll keep you posted on which classes we'll be offering.
Praise the Lord. And come to us, and we'd be glad to connect you as well if that's easier for you. BrianandJanelle.org.
Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hainer, Mike Reynolds, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.